This is Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook of Calvary Baptist Church. On today's edition.
Many different things we can treasure. It could be our career, it could be a hobby, it could be social media, it could be even an idea that we have in our mind that we just have to focus on all the time. If anything in this world is everything to you, then it's an earthly treasure. All of these things are temporal. They're not eternal. None of us are going to take anything with us. As Job said very well, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return.
What is your most treasured possession on earth? 100 years after you die, will it still be around? If it does still exist, will anyone even care about it? Will it have any lasting worth? Some of the most precious things in your life are good things. But as Pastor Dave teaches today, something does not have to be inherently evil to be an earthly treasure. It only needs to have an inappropriate priority in your life to become an idol. The core issue is not the possession you own. It's the state of your heart. Now, here's Pastor Dave in the book of Matthew chapter 6 for today's edition of Road to Calvary.
If you would please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We are continuing in our series through the Sermon on the Mount, and this is Jesus teaching his followers about kingdom righteousness. He's teaching about kingdom righteousness. So within these three chapters of Scripture from Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we get really a great and beautiful summary of how we are to live as Christians, as people who have the Holy Spirit residing within us. We're to be in the world, but not of the world, right? We are to be a distinct people. Earlier in chapter 6, Jesus taught about different ways that we could be rewarded for things that we do, and he specifically spoke of things like giving to the poor. He talked about prayer. He talked about fasting. And then as he talked about each of these topics, he referred to hypocrites, quote-unquote hypocrites, who do all of these things. They pray, they fast, they give to the poor, they do all of these wonderful things, but they do it for the purpose of being seen by others. Their goal is to have a reputation as a holy and a pious people, so that when people look at them, they say, oh, there is a man who is truly a believer, someone who is truly following after God. And Jesus is really clear in his teaching about what these people are going to receive for their efforts. They're going to receive exactly what they desire. They're going to receive the praise of men. They may get the reputation that they want, but that's all they're going to get. But for those who serve in secret, those who are truly doing these things, who are doing good works before the eyes of God alone and for his glory alone, they will be, according to Jesus, they will be rewarded by God. And from this idea of reward, Jesus then shifts now into kind of a broader teaching about the things that we value. What is it that we value? What is it that we treasure? What are the things that we put a priority on, that we follow after, that we desire? And in these verses, we see that we need to choose between two different treasures. We need to choose between two different visions, and we need to choose between two different masters. So let's dive into the text together, verses 19 through 24 of Matthew chapter 6. Again, starting in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Lord, as we come into your word this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would speak through your word, that we would hear your voice, that we would understand what you are teaching us through this passage, and I pray that it would be all to your glory, and I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So again, within this text, Jesus uses really three different illustrations in order to answer one overriding question. And that question is, where is your heart? Where is your heart? And that's a question we all need to ask ourselves, because our heart is what God desires from us. He desires our obedience, absolutely. He calls us to obey, but he desires obedience that flows out of a heart of love for him. So first of all, Jesus tells us that we need to seek the right treasure. We're all seeking something. We're all seeking some kind of treasure, but we need to seek the right treasure. If you look at verses 19 and 20, we can see this. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Now, as Jesus is speaking these words, as he's giving this example, he's really speaking in language that, in terms that would be very relatable to those who are listening to him. When he speaks of moths destroying things, that naturally makes his hearers think of their clothing. And now, certainly today, clothing, having nice clothing is important to many people today. That hasn't changed all that much. But in the Middle East at the time, clothing was considered to be a significant part of a person's wealth. In fact, several times in Scripture, we see clothing being used as a wage, as what people earn, or even as a reward for someone for something that they have done. So Jesus is reminding his listeners here, he's reminding them, look, I don't care if you have the nicest clothes, the most expensive clothes from the best designers, it isn't going to last forever. It's not lasting. Ultimately, it will wear out. Ultimately, it will eventually become worthless. The word that's translated rust here, as it goes into moth and rust, it's this that gives the idea, it gives kind of the feeling of eating, but not eating the way I would eat a sandwich, eating like sort of the eating away of something, the decomposition of something. When related to metal, certainly rust would be an appropriate translation. It can also mean rotting or spoiling in relation to food. Something that, again, has deteriorated to the point of uselessness. So it's pointing out, certainly, that all the food they may store up, whatever they may store up, you remember the story of the guy that's going to build more silos, right? Because he was going to store up all the stuff that he had, all this plenty that he had, that he would never have to work anymore. And God says, "You fool, tonight your soul will be required of you," right? So all of this, whatever you gather, whatever resources you have coming in, these earthly resources will not last. They will eventually spoil or rust or waste away. They may have related it to food back in that day. For us, it could be that shiny new car that you have your eye on, right? You may have this beautiful car. You may get a brand new car. You look at it, it sparkles, and you're like, this is awesome. This is the greatest thing ever. But, you know, eventually it's going to end up in the junkyard, and it's going to just be a pile of metal, eventually. Right, these things don't last. Even the things that don't naturally wear out, those things that don't naturally spoil or degrade, those things also aren't safe, because back in Jesus' day, there were no banks the way we have them today. People would really have no choice but to keep their valuables in their own homes. But in those homes, they were made out of like a mud brick, and people could literally dig through them, and thieves would actually dig through the walls of the house and take things that were in there. You had to try to hide them in your own house. In our day, yes, we have more solid building materials, generally speaking, right? We have FDIC guarantees, right, in the banks that we put things in, but none of those things are guarantees. I know there are a number of people here who have had things taken right out of their homes, right? Nothing we do makes these things last forever. And the bottom line is, even if no one ever steals it, eventually you're going to die. And what are those things going to help you at that point? So what Jesus is doing here, he's really making a point that focusing our pursuits on the accumulation of stuff, on the accumulation of wealth or possessions, focusing our pursuits on those things ultimately is a losing effort. If you're playing the long game, it's a losing effort. This is true because of just the natural laws of deterioration. It's also true because of the sinful nature of those people around us. So before we consider what it means to lay up treasure in heaven, let's consider what Jesus is really implying here by what he's saying. Is he condemning all wealth? No. He's certainly not doing that. The scripture never prohibits private property. It never forbids saving for the future. Matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, they have a kind of a parable of an ant, and the ant is commended for gathering in the time of harvest and saving up for the winter. So there's nothing wrong with planning appropriately, with wise use of your resources. That is commended in scripture. We're told in 1 Timothy 5:8 that we're to provide also for our families. We're also told, also in 1 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 6, that we're instructed to enjoy the good things that God has provided, right? We're not required to live the life of a monk in a concrete room with nothing in it. We're not required to do that. If you want to do that, that's fine. But you're not required to do that. God gives us good things to enjoy. But even though Jesus isn't prohibiting wealth, what he is prohibiting, what he is speaking against, is the selfish accumulation of it. Kind of a miserly attitude of, this is all mine. If you've ever seen the Lord of the Rings movies, you know, Gollum, this is my precious and you can't have it. That's what he's against. Author G.K. Chesterton said this. He said, there are two ways to get enough. One is to accumulate more and more. The other is to desire less. Right? If you desire less, you can have enough. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus put it this way. He said, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And you know, when someone dies and they have the reading of the will, it's like, here it is, here's the estate. Well, that's all fine, and if you take those resources and use them to help others in your family or otherwise to use for the Lord's work, that's great. But that is not who you are. That is not your life, is not those resources. In Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money, right? Not keep your lives free from money, but keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. And the reason that's given by the author of Hebrews is great. The reason that's given to be content for what you have is because God has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, right? So because we know God is with us, we can be content with whatever we have. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians 11. I've had nothing. I've been beaten. I've been stoned. I've been shipwrecked. I've had no food. I've had no water. But I've learned in all things to be content because he knew this, that God will never leave him. God will never forsake him. So this is clearly a warning to the rich, right? It is a warning to the rich not to be wrapped up in their possessions, but it is not a warning only to the rich. Let's not put in our minds, well, this is for those people that have a lot. I don't have so much, so this is not talking to me. That is not necessarily the case, because a ditch digger can be absolutely tightwad with his money, and a wealthy stockbroker can be extremely generous and be honoring these principles better. And the Greek word certainly isn't limited to money. Jesus is warning against focusing our ambitions, our interests, and our hopes on the things of this life. I love this story. It's a true story about an American tourist back in the 1800s. He visited an influential Polish rabbi of the time. And he was astonished when he went to visit this man. He was astonished to see that this rabbi's home was just a simple room filled with some books, a table, and a bench. And that was it. And the tourist asked him and said, Rabbi, where's your furniture? And the rabbi replied, well, where's yours? And the puzzled tourist said, well, but I'm a visitor here. I'm only passing through. To which the rabbi wisely said, me too. Right? Is this our home? Well, not according to Scripture. This is our temporary place. We're passing through this life on our way, as John Bunyan put it in The Pilgrim's Progress. I've said many times, my favorite book outside of the Bible is Pilgrim's Progress. I think it is incredibly powerful. And as Bunyan put it, this whole life is a journey to the celestial city. That's what this life is. It's a journey to heaven, and we're honoring God and preparing for that as we go. That's what it's all about. Now, maybe you aren't driven by the accumulation of wealth, but something else could certainly be a sinful treasure. If you've ever seen the third Indiana Jones movie, The Last Crusade, right? Indiana Jones's father was obsessed, we find out in the movie, obsessed with locating the Holy Grail. And the Holy Grail is this cup that supposedly Jesus drank from in the Last Supper. And so he was obsessed. He had this diary. He had all these clues written out. His whole life, he put aside his relationship with his son. He put everything aside. He had this single-minded focus on he was going to find this artifact. He was going to find the Holy Grail. Everything else is secondary. You know, sometimes we can be like that with things in our own lives as well. Maybe it's your home. Maybe you've just purchased your first home and you're just trying to get everything just so, and you're envisioning, well, I need to have this just this right sectional couch for here, and we've got to find the right one, and we need to have some pictures over here. And now, is decorating your home a bad thing? No, of course not. Of course not. But that can become a driving force that everything is about. Everything has to be just right. So that could be something with you. It could be your family. Again, family is a wonderful thing. We're meant to spend time with family. We're meant to be a blessing to family. We're meant to, in the case of our kids, to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But even our children can become a sinful treasure because we can invest everything there. We can focus our entire lives on making sure everything in their life is just the right way, making sure they have just the right grade so they get into just the right school, so that they get just the right degree, so they can have just the right career that I have picked out for them because I think it's what is best for them. We can make that our driving force. Everything in life is about the children. And when everything is about the children, then you have no time left to minister to your neighbors, whether literally your neighbor next door or your neighbors in the more figurative sense. We are to love God and then love our neighbor. We have to relate to them, right? Many different things we can treasure. It could be our career, it could be a hobby, it could be social media, it could be even an idea that we have in our mind that we just have to focus on all the time. If anything in this world is everything to you, then it's an earthly treasure. All of these things are temporal. They're not eternal. None of us are going to take anything with us. As Job said very well, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. So our focus should not be on laying up earthly treasures, but on laying up treasures in heaven. And these heavenly treasures, according to verse 20, don't wear out, they don't decompose, and they can't be stolen. Jesus is saying here is that believers will be rewarded in eternity according to the way that we live our lives here on earth. Now, exactly what that reward is going to be, we're not told. But I think it's safe to say that it's going to be beyond what we could even imagine. As a matter of fact, the scripture even says that in 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. We can't even begin to comprehend. We can't even begin to imagine. But whatever that treasure may be, the point that Jesus is making here is that that treasure is lasting. That treasure is eternal. That is an investment that continues to pay off. And it's a sure thing. So as we have these resources, whether they be money, time, talents, whatever it is that are put into our stewardship that we have access to, we use those things investing in God's kingdom, and that is an investment in heaven that we will receive our reward later. Many, many times what we invest, as the scripture tells us. So when you think about it, think about all the things that you're spending, that you're focused on, let's put it that way, that you're focused on, that your goals, the things that you're spending the most time and thought on. How important are those things going to be 100 years from now? How important will they be 1,000 years from now? How important will they be 1,000,000 years from now if the Lord should tarry? Will they be lasting? Will there be anything here that will matter of you in that time? Will you be laying up treasures in heaven? How important will our fame be? Anyone who may have some degree of fame. How important will our stock portfolio be? How important will that brand new Mustang be? Are we making the right investments now in our lives? 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19 should be really instructive for us. It gives us a great instruction for how we're to live. It says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Now, don't take from what I'm saying. You know, I joked about the brand new Mustang. But I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a new Mustang. Don't take it. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we can make that our idol. We can make that the thing we have to have, and no one better not touch my Mustang. You understand that it's not an issue of the item. It's an issue of how you see that item and how you react around that item or that thing or those people or that family or whatever it may be. What Jesus is doing is not looking at, well, you have a Mustang, that's not good. You have a Ford Pinto, that's okay. That's not what he's saying. He's checking the state of our hearts. We see this in the next verse. Verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, when the Bible talks about the heart, it doesn't mean the same thing as when your doctor talks about the heart. He's not speaking of primarily the organ that's pumping in your chest. He also isn't talking about the same thing that Hallmark means when it says heart. It's not simply about emotions, but it does include emotions. But when the Bible talks about the heart, it's the center of not just your emotions, but also your thoughts. So it's also your mind and also your will. It's the very center of your being. So what Jesus is saying here is that where our treasure is, our whole inner self will follow. So we need to ask ourselves a few questions. What occupies your thoughts when you have nothing else going on? When you're just sitting quiet, what is occupying your thoughts at that time? What do you worry about the most? What do you most dread losing? What are the things that you measure others by? Now think of this. That can be really revealing because we tend to measure other people by things that we treasure. So do you measure other people by what clothes they wear? Do you measure other people by their education? Do you measure other people by the home that they live in? Do you measure other people by their success in business or in their career? What things do you measure others by? And finally, what is it that we know that we cannot be happy without? The answers to those questions reveal where our treasure lies. And where our treasure is, our heart will be also. What happens to our treasure also tends to happen to us. What I mean by that is if our treasure is doing well, if it's secure and doing well, then we tend to be doing well. But if we lose what we treasure, then we feel like we're lost as well. If I'm treasuring my home and a tornado comes through and destroys it, I'm lost because that's my treasure. But if your heart is set on heavenly treasure, then as your treasure is incorruptible and secure, so will be your heart. This verse is a wonderful mirror that enables us to see the true state of our inner being, of who we are and what we're all about. But we have to take a long, honest look in the mirror. And then Jesus moves on to an illustration regarding sight. We need to seek the right treasure, but we also need to have the right vision. We need to have the right vision. Verses 22 and 23, Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? The idea here is that light enters through the eye and gives light to the whole body. Your body can function because of the light that's let in through the eyes. That's biology. Light comes in, it reflects, and we see what's around us, and we can function. But if your eyes don't let in any light, then your body is left to stumble around in the darkness. Of course, Jesus isn't really giving a lesson on optics. He's saying that the light that comes into a man's soul comes in depending on the spiritual condition of the eye that it passes through.
If you missed any part of Pastor Dave Cook's teaching today on Road to Calvary, or if you'd like to listen to others like it, we encourage you to visit cbcriverhead.org. Once you're there, just click on the Sermons tab. If there's anything from today's teaching that you have a question on, or if you have any prayer requests you'd like us to pray for, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us. Call us at 631-727-4112. That number again is 631-727-4112. While we're honored to spend time with you through the airwaves on Road to Calvary, we're aware that having a church community is vital to your growth as a believer. If you're not involved in a local church yet, we encourage you to find one. In fact, if you're in or near the Riverhead area, we'd love to have you join us here at Calvary Baptist Church of Riverhead, New York. We gather each Sunday at 10:50 a.m. for a time of worship and Bible study. You can find all the information you need at cbcriverhead.org. To stay in touch with us throughout the week, find us on Facebook and YouTube. Links to both of those media sites are available on our website. Again, that was cbcriverhead.org. Before you go, we'd ask that you prayerfully consider donating to this ministry. We couldn't do it without listeners like you, and we greatly appreciate any and all amounts. Just click on the Giving tab on our website. Thanks for giving, and thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Road to Calvary.